Hello and welcome back to the Feel Better Faster Breakup Podcast, where our main goal is to feel better. How awesome is that? There are so many cool ways to do it, and I'm diving in. I'm finding some ways. I went through a breakup after a 16-year relationship, and it just tore me up. So I decided, you know what, there needs to be more resources for people going through this kind of a problem. This is for everyone, not just breakups, divorce. You know, there's a lot of valuable insights that I've found and that I'm finding from all these people that I'm talking to, and I really am just so excited to be able to share this with you, because I know and honor how difficult that process is when you're right there in it, and I just I want people to know, you know, you're not alone, and you've got you know, a lot of people who have gone through this and they've found a way to shine on the other side. So keep believing that it's going to get better. It will get better. And in the meantime, I want to share with you today the second part of the interview with Vicky Falcone. And in case you didn't listen to the last episode, Vicky is a conscious relationship coach, speaker, and author. And she works with people who want to improve their relationships with themselves and to others, and it's really just so powerful to talk with somebody like her who really, she's been studying this for 20 years, and she just has some valuable insights that, you know, it's like why make things more difficult on ourselves if we can find a way, if we can have somebody slide us the answers to the test, and we can and put the right answers down and not have to go make all the mistakes, then, you know, I say, let's do it. So, without further ado, I hope you guys enjoy part two of this episode with Vicky Falcone. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Feel Better Faster Breakup Podcast. I'm stoked to once again have special guest Vicky Falcone, coach, expert on all things relationship and self-love and all the good things that you came here to find out. She knows these things. And so today, welcome, first of all. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So today we're going to talk about what are some of the advantages of, you know, talking with a professional. You know, it's, and I was saying before, it's kind of, It's so powerful to don't isolate yourself, don't sit in a room alone. If just reach out to somebody, talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to somebody. But sometimes, what are some of the pros and cons and benefits of just really reaching out to a professional?
Right. I don't see a lot of cons.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
But some of the pros. Well, you said it to me earlier today. You said taking the elevator instead of the stairs.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a really great way to say it, is that if you want to move quickly, it's like if I go into a gym and I really want to get in shape quickly for whatever my fitness goals are, I'm going to hire a trainer. 100% of the time in my life when I've hired a trainer, I move faster.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to be a big skier, and so that 6 weeks before ski season, you know, would be usually when I would hire a trainer to get in shape.
Oh, nice.
And so it's like you want to meet your goals faster, feel, and you know, the name of this podcast, you want to feel better faster. Mm-hmm. I think a good professional is a powerful person to add to your healing team.
Your healing team.
Your healing
team. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I never thought about it as though you've got a healing. But I had one. I just didn't think of them quite exactly like that's my healing team. But they were there.
Yeah. So was that friends or professionals?
It was family and friends. And I had certain people. And I had different people to help me in different ways. Yes. Like there were the ones I could cry to. And then there was the one who actually literally said, it's time to slap yourself in the face and stop crying.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I needed to hear that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So there were different people for different parts of that journey.
Great. And I experienced the same thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And a professional is going to have the wisdom, ideally, the knowledge, and the skills to really help you heal. And in fact, Research, I was just teaching this in a workshop last night. Research has really shown what it takes to heal, and a good professional offers all three of these. It's called the three R's. It's from the work of journalist Alan Deutschman, who wrote a book called Change or Die.
Oh, nice.
So he really studied people who had life-threatening illnesses, and corporations and organizations and individuals. And he found that if you want to really change, you know, three R's have to be present. You've got to find someone you can relate to, ideally who's been where you are and is where you want to be. Now, a lot of therapists don't particularly meet that first R. You've got to repeat. You've got to repeat what they give you to do over and over and over. And this person has to help you reframe and change your negative self-talk, your limiting beliefs, so that you start to see yourself in the situation differently. Mm. So that's what it takes to change in a good...
Can we just repeat those just in case somebody wasn't listening?
Sure, absolutely. So the three R's that need to be present if you want to change.
Yeah.
So again, that's whether you're getting fit or... Yeah. Recovering and wanting to recover yourself from heartbreak you've got to find someone you can relate to.
Cool.
Okay, so that can be an individual or a group.
Yeah.
Someone who's been where you are and is where you want to be is ideal, and has also got the tools and skills.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first one, relate.
Yeah.
And then second is repeat.
Yeah.
You've got to, you know, once you learn these new tools and skills and new ways of talking about yourself, you've got to do it over and over. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Like we humans, we are creatures of habit.
Yeah.
We don't change quickly, so we need a lot of repetition.
Yeah. And see how quickly I'm learning these lessons? I already asked you to repeat.
Yes.
So I appreciate
it. Good job, Leon.
But it's awesome. And it's so important. This is really powerful. So I just, so anyway, thank you. And so we're repeating.
Repeating. And the number three R is reframe
is
this new relationship that you're having, and again that can be a group, it can be a 12-step group, it can be an individual. They need to be able to help you change your limiting beliefs.
Good.
Reframe the way you're looking at yourself, the situation.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. powerful words. Yes. Okay. That's so good.
So professionals a lot of times have those three R's. Obviously groups, you know, a great group, good too. It doesn't have to be an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you get into a good group, a group that's respectful and safe, or work with a good professional who walks their talk, who is the thing that they're teaching you, that's really important.
Yeah.
You know, as then you can greatly, I mean, I would say you move from the stairs to the high speed elevator.
Oh, nice.
You know, as far as is speeding up your recovery and your learning and your growth from this really painful thing.
Yeah. And some of the advice that I get from, you know, that I heard from people was actually, it would have been escalator down kind of a thing. You know, it's like, you need to go just get so drunk that you can't even see straight. I'm like, I don't think that's the best advice I've gotten. Yeah. But I appreciate it. But I think some of our friends want to just, you know, almost like reflect what we're pouring out and say, and validate us. And they feel like that will help us. And like, yeah, you're right. You should go egg her house or whatever, you know? And it's like, and that kind of thing, I think is just, I can't imagine a professional offering that advice, but a friend I could see. You know, you don't know my friends, but
yeah.
So I guess, that's just it's another place where sometimes the advice we may get from a friend, it may be awesome, but it might just be a little Band-Aid when what we need is an IV or something. And so
Or I love it. So we now have the escalator down, the stairs up, you know, and the fast elevator up. So, you know.
And wings. Where do we get our wings?
Where do we get you? Get your wings, trust me.
Yeah.
So it's a great, those are great metaphors.
Cool. Yeah, so those are some of the advantages to having a professional. And you touched on this, some of the different resources that are available. Maybe we should dive into just a little bit of, there are groups, there are personal coaches, there are relationship coaches, there are all these, and there's something else I was thinking, but I'm sure you have a big list of what are some of, and oh, when we were talking earlier about the, like even just like a crisis hotline kind of a thing. And I did some research and maybe if somebody out there knows, like, I don't know that there's like a heartbreak hotline, but if anybody knows, I'd love to find out what that is, like a place where people can just, if they're hurting and sad and they don't know who to call.
Yeah, there are Facebook groups.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And so I would just search and see, you know, they've all got different vibes.
Cool.
Some are have particular religious affiliations. Yeah. Others are very, you know, they make their, you know, just go search on Facebook for heartbreak or breakup, or there are some groups that are big.
Okay, good. Awesome.
And see who you vibe with. I don't care for the groups that are letting people stay stuck in victim, you know,
when,
you know, some groups really have guidelines, like you've got to be positive and you've got to be encouraging to yourself and each other, you know, and so that's just a really readily available resource.
Perfect. That's a great tip for people.
And that one you can do like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, you can go on there and you'll find, I mean, one of the groups had 200,000 people.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You'll find someone who does care, actually, or does understand.
Yeah.
So that's one of the great things about social media.
Yeah.
You know, is there is this stuff available.
I love it.
Okay. So, and then some of my other favorite resources are Meetup has got, you know, the website meetup.com. Some people have never heard of that, but there are support groups there. And again, as with everything, some are going to be better and healthier than others. But go and feel and get the vibe. Like, are these people helping me feel better or worse or stuck or?
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's really powerful. And so along those lines, maybe if somebody's a little nervous about going in, they're not sure how to recognize, are these people actually helping me or hurting me? Or like, what would you say to look for as you go into these groups? Like you mentioned victimhood, and that's a huge piece of it. We have to get out of that victim mentality in a breakup. Like, this thing didn't happen to us.
Yeah.
And that's maybe a whole nother topic.
That is a whole other topic. Victim, right? We could talk about it, but
some things to look for.
Yeah, Oh, thank you. That's a great question. Well, I like to, first and foremost, like, check into my body when I'm leaving. Is really like, okay, well, how did that feel? So just as a really first general, like, how do I feel here? I'm sitting with these people. Do I feel hopeful, inspired, lifted up? Or do I feel sad, depressed, and like, I really do want to go take your friend's advice and go drink myself into oblivion? You know, just like, the simple thing is like, just how do I feel? So some specific things to look for are, do I feel safe? Meaning, like, are all emotions allowed? Are people listening? Are people lifting each other up? Are they allowing a negative personality to dominate, or is someone being a good leader? And are there guidelines that support healing?
Yeah.
And so a really healthy group, like when I run groups, I say, number one, confidentiality. I make everyone agree to that, you know, to agree. And that you, one person talks at a time. These seem overly simple, but they're powerful. That you listen, and that you're saying only positive things. Because truthfully, listening alone when you're in a safe group really heals us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think both sides of listening, like when we have someone listen to us is powerful. And then when we just listen to someone else, it helps us so much to just know that, you know, we're not alone.
Yeah.
And there's, wow, these other people are feeling some of this too.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I really appreciate about your workshop was that there were different levels, you know, like different phases of the process. And it was, and I bet that's got to be fascinating for you to watch these people grow, but it was inspiring for, you know, to see, oh, this person's at this place. So this person who's just starting this journey can really, you know, be inspired by that next person.
Oh yeah. That's one of the kind of healing that happens in group that I could never do one-on-one. That's why so much of my work is groups, is because there's only, I think I'm a pretty good coach. I think I'm a very good coach, but there's a certain thing that happens right in a successful group. Humans are driven to be in groups. Humans are driven to belong. Humans are, they are very much driven, and we are wired to be together. So we're wired to heal together. We're wired to live together. And as much as other humans can drive you crazy, that if you get a good group, yeah. that's where I think some of the biggest healing can happen is in a group. Yeah. Yeah. Others are inspiring you. And then it's equally as helpful. You were talking about a person, you know, kind of lower on the rung of as far as where they are in their healing process, looking up to. It's equally as powerful for the person who's further along to turn back and help the one behind them up.
Oh, yeah.
That's an extraordinarily part of the healing process. And to watch people that I work with change and look back and say, oh, look, I was there.
Yeah.
Come on up here.
Yeah.
There's hope. You can do it. And it's like that moment brings tears to my eyes.
Oh, yeah. And that's got to feel so good for that person to just all of a sudden, because we sometimes don't see our own growth until we remember where we were.
Yes.
And so that's huge. Yeah. That's great. So we've got social media to find support. We've got all that. Can you think of some other areas where people might be able to reach out to find, you know, if not a friend, here's a resource of something.
Yeah, sure. I like... I find that a lot of people, a good percentage of the people I work with, have some sort of codependency going on in their relationships.
Yeah.
It's very rare. John Bradshaw, who studied this and came out with the seminal work in the 80s and I guess late 70s around inner child work and family dynamics, said about 4% of the population are healthy, have healthy boundaries, healthy relationships.
Oh, that's
generous. You know?
Yeah.
And that he called them the normies, you know?
Okay.
And then so that leaves the rest of the 96% of us in the group of dysfunctional.
Yeah.
So he said 4% were functional.
Wow.
They studied this, you know, Virginia Satir's work, if anyone wants to go back. That's who inspired him. He studied Virginia Satir, who I happened to study because my minor was gerontology of all strange things in college. And and so the other 96% of us have some level of dysfunction in our relationships. So why not go get help for that? And so a free and a 12-step based program, which may resonate for you or may not, is about Codependence Anonymous. It's called CODA, capital C-O, capital D-A. And again, some of those groups are great and there's a lot of recovery, and some of those groups, they're not doing really well and a lot of people are in victim consciousness. So you got to find your group, but you can go to and just do a search. There are CODA groups all over the world.
Awesome.
And if you live in a remote place, there are phone meetings. So at least you can go here and it meets those three R's.
Yeah.
You have people, someone you can relate to, because the group and the more healed people in the group have been where you are and are what you have, are where you want to be. There's repetition if you keep going to meetings, and they help you reframe.
Yeah.
And they help you with the skills. So that's the case of a group having the tools and the skills as opposed to a person.
Yeah. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So those are lots of nice resources and also what to look for as we're finding resources. And if you guys find some resource that we maybe don't mention, share it with me and I'll mention it in the next episode. And so... we'll just keep spreading knowledge and growth. But this is cool. If there's anything else you can think of on that, as far as places people might be able to look for support, if not, and if you think of something, we'll come back to it. But
Well, you're saying breakup, and I know you weren't married.
I was
married.
Yeah.
So some of the people listening here, your breakup may have been involved with divorce.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of divorce support groups. I mean, I would go online again and just search for them. Here in the Los Angeles area, there are tons of divorce support groups.
Yeah.
And again, when we get together and if the leader is good and the group is good, it's profoundly healing to get in a group of people who are going through what you went through.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. I love it. So all these resources. So now I'd love to chat with you about like what you do and how the various ways that you use your insights to help people heal and work through that process.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorites that's coming to mind is that, you know, I'm a conscious relationship coach. Mm-hmm. And And is that with my new husband now, my, you know, I think all of us should have like a practice husband. And you know.
Good, yeah. With everything like, in life, we need to practice before we.
Yeah. Ideally, we'd have a first practice child. What would I have learned? You know, it's like, oh my perfect. Goodness. Okay, now you go over there while I have, take what I learned from you. Unfortunately, it's not like that. Yeah. But you know, one of my favorite things I do with my husband now is teach a conscious relationship. Workshop where, and a lot of people that come to that are coming out of a breakup. And they're like, they're where you are. They're saying, ah, okay, that didn't work. Yeah. You know, I'd like to, and they're drawn to this word conscious. Like, what does that mean? A conscious relationship. Well, most of us get into relationships in a very unconscious way. Yeah. You don't know if you can relate, but when I married my first husband, it was kind of like, well, he's really cute.
Yep.
And we have a lot of fun together skiing. And oh my goodness, those baby blue eyes are just to die for. And he's really nice. And did I mention like how much fun we have skiing and like we go on trips and scuba dive? And you know, he's not like, my dad was kind of really difficult and mean. So I was just sort of like, well, he's not that. So why not? I mean, that is literally the attitude with which I got married.
Yeah.
And then it was this other weird thing of like, well, we've dated for 3 years. So kind of there was like, seems like what you do then, we're in our late 20s, is what you do then is you get married. So that's all terribly unconscious.
Yeah.
Way we get into the relationship. And then also I was bringing all my past patterning and wounds from childhood that I hadn't done any work to heal. Never been to therapist in my life. He brought all of his that he did. So we didn't even look in the box to see what the heck was there. It's just like, this seems like a good idea. You're cute and fun. Let's do this.
You're cute and fun.
So that's, yeah.
That's good. I think you're absolutely right. Most people kind of launch into it from that area.
You stumble like from the bar to their house, and then you're in a relationship. And so I'm not judging, because we can only be unconscious until we're conscious. And so one of my favorite things to do is my husband and I teach an eight week workshop on conscious relationship.
Beautiful.
So some people are couples, but it's probably 70% people coming out of a breakup and 30% of people who are in a couple, either they're as a couple or one of the people come. And so we get really conscious, and during and after a breakup is a good time to start thinking about what you do want in a relationship. And a great place to start is by listing out and getting clear about all the things that didn't work. So I don't know if you want to talk about the stuff that you're you know, sure. I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah, let's be vulnerable. Yeah, let's go.
But like, what didn't work for you? Besides the breakup itself, as you look back and you say, wow, I don't want that again.
Yeah. And the first thing that comes to mind for me that I really, I wanted like an open communication and like inner spiritual kind of relationship where it was just like a closeness in that way where, and a big thing that was challenging for me, if maybe this is a better way to explain it, is just that I would, like, there would be anger from the other side, and I'd be like, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. Nothing. I'll just deal with it. I'll just be fine. And I'd be like, let me be a part of that process, and if you're mad at me, please let me try to at least explain or apologize. And it would just be like, no, it doesn't matter. I'll deal with it. And so that was for me. I was like, I need somebody who's willing to be open and be my partner.
Yes.
So that was...
Okay.
Something I learned.
Right.
Yeah.
So she sounds like how I used to be before I before I grew and got awake and healed my issues. And that kind of getting angry and shutting down is one of the most painful, tell me if you agree, one of the most painful things you can receive from your partner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's very painful. So what I'm hearing in one of the characteristics of a conscious relationship is that each person is in touch with their feelings and willing to share them. And also then willing to take responsibility for their feelings. But there's a communication style in conscious relationships that that we teach people that. So first of all, you agree to, mm-hmm. you're conscious.
Yeah.
Right? You're conscious. You're like, okay, well, I would like a relationship where there's honesty. Yeah. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
That I'm willing to, I'm willing to know what my feelings are and share them.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to take responsibility for that, the fact that I got triggered. And that, yeah. doesn't mean that I don't include you. And then there's a communication, yeah. style,
yeah.
that's very healthy, that involves saying, you know what, right now, would you like to hear an example of that, yeah. Liam? Yeah. What that would sound like? Yeah. So let me give you an example of that. I'm going to give you a real life experience.
Okay, cool.
Okay? Because my first marriage ended because my first husband, after 18 years of being faithful, had an affair.
Mm.
So understandably, when I'm dating then my second husband, I have a little bit of trigger, mm. about other women, uh-huh. getting in too close. Whereas before my first marriage, I was very like, yeah. la la la, I was not a jealous, yeah. person. I was unconscious. Yeah. It was just like, oh yeah, that's fine. And all that, it's all fine. It's all good. I'm, mm-hmm. you know, and then my first husband, then he goes to this spiritual, mm. growth seminar. And goes to lunch with this very beautiful woman, mm-hmm. just the two of them. So I got a little bit triggered. I mean, I'm really letting you into, yeah. like one of the few times that I got upset with my current husband, yeah. when we were dating. And now, so I have a couple of choices after that, yeah. happens to myself. Okay, yeah. So we talk about unhealthy, unhealthy, unhealthy. Okay, mm-hmm. unhealthy. He comes home, I unleash on him. What the heck? What are you, yeah. thinking? I blame. I attack. Yeah. Okay. Unhealthy option number two. Sort of what you were saying about your partner. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's wrong? Nothing. And then I don't speak to him for 3 days.
Yeah.
Very painful. Very dysfunctional. Okay. Option number three. I learn a communication style and this is what it sounds like. And I go to him and I say, you know, I heard you went to lunch with so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
How that makes me feel, I mean, you know about my past, mm-hmm. and my trigger, is it makes me feel a little scared and a little bit jealous, mm-hmm. and a little bit sad,
yeah.
and a little hurt. And then what I make up about that is that you're now going to be on the same slippery path and the same thing's going to happen to me again.
Mm. Yeah, and you even tell the part of what you make up to yourself and acknowledge, that's right. that's powerful.
Yeah.
And that's, and that right there, the part that we make up is so painful sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when we are sharing how we, yeah. feel and what we're making up about, mm-hmm. it, that is powerful. And then, yeah. you have a partner who agrees to hear you,
wow.
without responding, ooh. In the same dysfunctional way where, yeah. they blame you or, wow. they, you know, they are a stone wall,
yeah.
and defensive, mm-hmm. right? So those are the things that destroy relationships, are defensiveness, criticism, mm-hmm. contempt, and stonewalling. Those are, yeah. the four horsemen of the apocalypse, Dr. John Gottman, the number one, the leading researcher on couples, wow. relationships, says if these four things are going on in your relationship, you're doomed. So the conscious, wow. relationship is the exact opposite of all, wow. of those four.
What a beautiful thing. A conscious relationship. And just to be able to say those things. And then is it, so then are there, because, mm-hmm. I know a lot of people will be scared to say that to their partner because, yes. of the fear of them not being accepting. But if you guys are, yeah. in this program together, yeah. you've already signed up.
Yeah.
And so it's like you have that freedom to then say, hey, this is where I'm coming from, and then, mm-hmm. where, and then they have, you know, they probably have some guidelines to, I mean, and it's such a beautiful way to say it, like, I'm feeling vulnerable and scared in this way because of this,
yeah.
and then you can, do you request, can you please do things in this way, or how do you go,
yeah,
about
the,
that?
So step, yeah. three of that conversation, and that conversation is, I'm feeling this, what, yeah. I made up about it is this,
yeah.
And then you check in, because, yeah. it's not a monologue. So then you, yeah. check in and say, how are you feeling about this?
Perfect.
And then the,
yeah.
next step is, and then this is what I would prefer, or this is my request.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. That seems like it could work.
Oh, I can tell you after 7 years of it, it works amazingly well.
So cool.
Would you like to hear what my request was of my then boyfriend, husband, who's still my boyfriend, by the way, which
that's
I love because we call each other. It's like, you're still my boyfriend, because when we stop being girlfriend and boyfriend, that's no good for
our
relationship.
Perfect.
So I said, you know what? You know about my history.
Yeah.
I would like to request that you don't go to lunches one-on-one with a woman.
Wow.
Until further notice.
Wow.
And if we want to revisit this and that's something that's really, really important to you, then can we talk about that?
That's cool.
Later. And he agreed, you know, but it doesn't necessarily have to go that way. He was very honoring of me and where I was and my vulnerability, because in my first relationship, I would have never exposed my vulnerability. I was raised with the dysfunctional belief that you show your vulnerability means you're weak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brené Brown is turning that upside down with her research and her books, that vulnerability is strength. And I'm certainly learning that. And my husband is certainly learning that. But it's scary.
Yeah.
It can be really scary for people.
And so then, and then, you know, though, if you ask that conscious question and your partner is like, no,
then you have a choice.
Yeah. Oh, and that's, but that, and I think some people may struggle in that realm to be like, to even ask, you know, because they're so scared the answer is going to be no, or they're so scared they're going to be like, what, criticize and critical of them saying, well, you don't even trust me. Like, I could see how those can turn into fights. But if you guys are both speaking to each other from a place of love with clear intentions, and so are there some of those pitfalls that maybe as people are being conscious that you've seen that you can kind of help people know how to avoid? I mean, there's like coming from
certainly
a place of love is one, but
certainly. Well, one is, I think one of my favorite things about our conscious relationship is that finding the healthy middle ground on this idea of personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're on the one unhealthy middle ground, I'm overly responsible for how you feel. So I get all worried about it. It's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you, I mean, here I'm saying this, but is it all right? And I'm kind of scared to speak my truth. And then you're under responsible and you shut down and don't do anything. And then the middle ground is, I say to my husband, you know, I know I'm responsible for the feelings happening inside of me.
Yeah.
That's a huge leap for a lot of people to make.
Wow.
It's like, you went to lunch with that woman. It could have been totally innocent.
Yeah.
But that's the make that part.
That's the power right there.
The power is like, who's responsible for what I'm feeling?
Yeah.
Is actually me.
Yes.
And so then I don't blame.
Yeah.
Unconscious behavior.
Wow.
Like, you are making me upset right now. Like, one of my parents, I won't name who, used to be like, you are making me mad. You are making me, it's like, he didn't know that, right? So we put our feelings off onto other people. So that taking responsibility is what we say in our course we teach. Take personal responsibility is damn sexy. It makes you very sexy. It's
that's
like,
cool.
Oh, you know, I know this is coming up inside of me.
Yeah.
And I still have a request of you to be sensitive to.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. So this is one of the many ways that course can help people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's like, especially if you're going through heartbreak, so do people take this kind of a course, As a single person just trying to heal?
Yeah,
okay,
it was mostly singles.
Oh, okay.
Mostly singles.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, because I mean, I could see, like, what a beautiful thing to go through it with your partner.
Oh, and some couples.
Yeah.
Some couples. And then some people who were in a relationship, but only one person came. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We tell people, like, well, doesn't my husband need to come? We're always like, nope.
Oh,
because
cool.
One person changing and healing. I mean, it's so sweet and so great. We encourage it.
Yeah.
But if someone doesn't want to, we say, you come.
Yeah.
Because if one person changes, it changes the whole dynamic of the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a powerful vehicle for people to grow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What's and you have a few other things that you offer. It seems like you have many.
Yeah, I do. Well, I'm a parenting expert, so all kinds of parenting workshops, and my most recent book is about helping people heal from their partner's affairs. Mm-hmm. So I have weekend intensives called Broken Open. I'm teaching people how to go from the pain of betrayal into open-hearted again after that particular pain. We have the Letting Love In is the name of the 8-week conscious relationship course. Those are given in LA in person. So all kinds of opportunities for people to change the relationship dynamic before they ever get in one. Once they get in one, once it's gone to the terrible, upsetting part of betrayal. So all along the line is the kind of support that I, and sometimes I with my current husband, help people learn.
That's so cool.
We didn't learn this in school, right? I teach two of the things that we were never taught, which is insane, parenting and relationship skills.
Yeah.
How did we all get through high school
why,
without that?
Why do we not value that as a part of our curriculum? Like
Some cutting-edge schools teach it, you know? And I think it's just wonderful. My daughter actually got parenting education in her college degree program, which I thought was amazing. But it's like money, parenting, and relationship, the three of the most critical, important areas of our lives we didn't get, which then keeps me busy as a professional teaching that.
It's great, you know, and it's good that you're out doing the work, you know, and like sharing that, because I feel like there's so many people that just really desperately need a little bit of guidance. And it's like, and even in the realm of parenting, a lot of times the parent doesn't know, so how are they going to teach the kid, you know? And it's just a cycle that never gets fixed unless somebody decides, hey, there's a ray of sunshine. What if I just open that door and see what's in there? And they find something beautiful. So
I ask parents in my parenting classes, I say on the first night, I said, raise your hands, how many of you would like to exactly replicate the way you were parented?
Wow.
I've seen like 5 hands in 23 years.
Wow.
It's like some people are like, what? I don't understand. There are those people in the 4%.
Well, that's great.
There are those people in the 4% who are like, oh, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, really? Oh, my mom was so sweet. My dad was so wonderful. I had a woman last night here.
Wow, that's so cool.
It's like, oh, yeah, my parents were amazing.
Well, good. And hopefully we can get to where more and more people raise their hands.
Oh, that's my goal for the planet.
Oh, wouldn't it be awesome?
That's my mission. My mission is that, you know, people know how to raise children with high self-esteem who would only ever settle for an amazing relationship, and to heal people who didn't learn how to do that from their parents. And now we can learn now, those of us who didn't have the ideal parents.
Yeah, that's so good. And it's one of those things too. It's never too late. Doesn't matter how old you are, you can still learn. I was at a training where there was a guy who was like in his 90s, and he was having like tears of joy. He was like, you guys have changed my life, you know. And it was just it was powerful. He was like, he came in with one perspective and left with another. And it's like, it's never too late to change and own responsibility for what you're gonna do with the rest.
I love that, Leon. That is a powerful truth, for especially if you're feeling discouraged.
Yeah,
it is literally never too late. You can have the beautiful life that you want starting now.
Yeah. Cool, and this is, there are so many powerful tools that you now have from this session. This has been so awesome for you to share. And if, you know, if anyone has questions, they want to get a hold of you, or if they want to, and can you tell us about some of the ways that people can get in touch with you, and also the offer that... that you like to make.
Yes, absolutely. Well, at VickiFalcone.com, V-I-C-K-I-E, last name, F like Frank, ALCONE.com. There'll be a form there that you can fill out for to apply for a discovery coaching session. And this is a session where we take a deep dive, because my intention is really to help people have a relationship breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Whether they're single, looking for their soulmate, recovering from a breakup, healing from an affair, just wanting to get closer. We go, so whether it's a couple or an individual, we take a 90-minute deep dive into what's the one thing that's preventing you from getting what you want in your relationship, and what's the one thing that's the most important thing. We identify that you can do to change that. Mm-hmm. And then if people are interested in working with me, then I talk about that, but it's not a sales pitch. It's 100%, like, this is a coaching session designed to help you create a breakthrough.
Awesome. That's such a beautiful free gift to somebody like you who might be hurting, who might just need to like try to take the elevator instead of the stairs. And then there's also workshops.
My whole list of workshops is there. It's right all on your website. Right on the homepage. Everything awesome. I've got going
so
on.
People can look that up and it's mm-hmm. like, and you don't have to be in LA. You can be anywhere.
Some of them are online. Yeah. Lots of them are online.
Awesome. Well, that's so cool. I appreciate you spending the time and sharing this, and all the good work you're doing is phenomenal. And
well, my
thank
pleasure.
You. And
I'm glad you have a podcast.
Yeah, me
people
too.
People feel better after the breakup is so needed.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And as far as the listeners out there, thank you for listening. It's going to get better. Just keep on growing, keep on trucking. And life is good. And have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful week. And we'll see you next time.